When we were in Illinois at the district office, the superintendent said that I was their missionary from the Appalachian Mountains. So that will tell you a little bit about it. My assignment tonight is to teach on the element of the fruit of the Spirit, the first one, which is love. Now, this could be a very difficult subject because we love everything from bologna to our dog to our spouse. And so sometimes that word love is hard to describe. And then, if that wasn't a hard enough job, Pastor Jeff on Father's Day, he gets up, and I don't know how he got into my computer and stole my material, but he did. And if you remember, he shared what children say about love. But don't fear, I found some more. Glenn, age 7, says, if falling in love is anything like learning to spell, I don't want anything to do with it. Manuel, age 8, if you are in love, I think you're supposed to get shot with an arrow, but the rest of it isn't supposed to be that painful. Tom, age 5, once I'm done with kindergarten, I'm going to think about getting me a wife. Ava, age 8, one thing I know, one of you should know how to write a check, because even if you have tons of love, there's still going to be a lot of bills. So you know what was going on in her house. Angie, age 10, on what is love. A man and a woman promise to go through sickness and illness and share many diseases together. And the last one, my favorite. John, age 5, had a special friend with his elderly neighbors, Tom and Sally. And Sally died suddenly, leaving Tom very distressed and sad. And when John saw his neighbor sitting in a swing on his front porch, he asked his mom if he could go over and visit with him. And she said, well, what will you say to him? And he just said, I don't know. So upon his return from his visit, she asked him, what did you say to Tom? I said, nothing. I just helped him cry. Love. I think love is easier practice than sometimes to define. And on your notes, we're going to go to Galatians 5:22, where it talks about what are the 9 fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit within us. The Spirit produces these character traits that are found in the nature of Christ. They are the byproduct of Christ's likeness or Christ's control within us. Is love something that happens to us or something that we make happen? It's something we should think about. Most people marry because they love each other and want to spend their lives together. But most couples who divorce claim that they don't love each other anymore. And Gary's wedding ceremonies, I've noticed throughout the years, he includes often a phrase which is, nothing is easier than saying loving words together, but nothing is harder than living them day after day. For some, love seems to come and go depending on our feelings and our response to the circumstances around us. God's love, however, is constant. It is patient and kind. It rejoices over truth. It always protects and trusts, hopes, and endures. God's love in us also helps us to resist from doing harmful things like envying, boasting about ourselves, putting ourselves first, dishonoring others, seeking attention, getting angry easily, holding grudges, and delighting in evil. Feeling should be followed by action, and godly love is always action-based. Matthew 7, chapter 17 says, a good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify mature people by their actions. And I don't know about you, but I wanted to be more mature, more grown up than I was last year. It never should stop our growing in the Lord. The fruit of the Spirit refers to the godly attributes of those who walk in the Spirit. These virtues from Galatians define Christ-likeness and summarizes the character that God wants every Christian to develop. In 9 words, God provides us with his standard of true spirituality. You cannot look at one of the attributes, such as patience, and know that it's lacking from your life and pray for it. Lord, you know how much I need patience. Lord, give me patience. And most of us all know what will happen when we pray that kind of prayer. You're going to receive many opportunities to practice patience, or whatever other fruit it is that we feel we have need of. The fruit of the Spirit is a natural growth out of a life living, pleasing God. Out of a life that is being sanctified daily. Out of a life that is maturing daily. When I grew up, I was born in a non-Christian home. But God had his hand on me my whole life. My dad was a core driller. I actually went to 3 different schools every year until I was in the 10th grade. Because wherever dad went, he took his family with him. But wherever we went, whatever girlfriend I made first, that's what church I attended. A well-rounded upbringing I had. But I'm so thankful for how many people through the years that stopped and picked up a little girl and took her to church and took her back home after church. I don't remember most of their names, but they loved enough to go out of their way. And they are part of the reason, and I'm here tonight. Love can develop in many different ways as we practice it daily in all that we do. God's love is unconditional and sacrificial. It's not that warm, gushy feeling that oozes from the pages of romance novels, or the type of love that can be seen on soap operas by unfaithful lovers. That's not the type of love that God wishes for us. And John 15, verse 4 says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. And then verse 5, I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Fruitful branches are often cut back to promote new growth. In other words, sometimes God continues us or disciplines us to strengthen our character and our faith. Now, in your paper, it has the 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter. And last week when Pastor was talking, he was talking about those first 3 verses. But let's read those 2 before we hit verse 4. The first 3 verses is about tongues and prophecy, and like we were talking about last week. Verse 1. If I speak in tongues of men and angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I have nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. But here we start about what love really is. Verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Verse 7. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. And so when we think that we don't know what love is, we can turn there and it tells us absolutely what love possesses. And then back to verse 8, last week's teaching. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be still. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfection disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. In verse 12, now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror, when we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall be known fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Years ago, I remember teaching a fourth grade Sunday school class. And I asked them the question on what is the difference in kindness and loving kindness that the scripture or the lesson was on that day. And so I gave them time to think, and a little boy raised his hand. He said, I think I know. He said, if I was hungry and you gave me a peanut butter sandwich, that would be kindness. And I said, that's right. And he said, but if you put a little jelly on it, that would be loving kindness. I thought that was pretty sharp, right? And so I think that is the way it is with all of the fruits that we're going to be studying. If you put love in front of it, that's taking it to the next level of what I think Christ wants to see in us. We can have some wonderful, wonderful friends and neighbors that don't even possess to be Christians. But they are wonderful people. But you see, when you have the Spirit in you, you go to the loving kindness, or you add that spiritual side to it. And I think that that has been something that I've thought about all the years of with the kids teaching Sunday school. I think I learned the most of my Bible learning was teaching kids, right? Loving kindness, love. You know, our world needs the type of love that we're talking about tonight. And so many things now are so confusing and so heartbreaking as we watch the news. But I think we can be spotlights right now as Christians and shine to this world as a testimony of what Christ's love really looks like and what it shows. In 1 John 4:7, it says, dear friends, we should love each other because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has become God's child and know God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And as we study the fruit of the Spirit the next few Wednesday nights, and we look at them from the eyes of the Holy Spirit, wants the way He wants us to look at these, I think that we all can come away from these Holy Spirit lessons that we're getting with a stronger awareness of what God wants us to be. As we grow older and older, sometimes we need to learn that we're not finished. Nowhere in Scripture does it talk about retirement. Our ministries may change and will change according to where we are, but nowhere does it talks about, okay, now you don't have to worry about any of this anymore. I think he wants more from us because we should be the most mature of all. Can you think of times in your own life, in your own testimonies, where love was shown to you in ways that really made a difference? I think so often we don't realize that God wants to use us in the very small things. We are often looking for big things to get involved in, but he wants to use us every day now and be used in our everyday life. When Gary and I was working at the district office in Illinois, our superintendent's wife, they had just become our superintendents, were in a car wreck, and Ann Martin was killed, leaving two little girls, preschool girls. And my heart just broke for those little girls. And then the very next day after Ann died, my neighbor directly across the street from us, she was in a car accident, and she was killed, leaving a little girl. So I thought, Lord, how can I be a blessing in these little girls' lives? And so I thought I would have a tea parties for them. And so one little girl that lived, my backdoor neighbor, she came too, but we had those four little girls that came monthly for tea parties at my house. And I would have hats for them to wear, little lace gloves for them to wear. I wore a great big hat and a lace dress, and they would come, and we'd go in the kitchen, and we would take cookie cutters, and we'd cut our bologna out with a cookie cutter, and then they would put whatever they wanted on it. And because they were so squirmy, we sat at a floor around a big coffee table, and I would say, okay, it's time for girl talk. And they, after a few times of being together, they would start sharing about how they missed their mama and all those kind of things. Such a little thing that could be done like that. But we should look today, right now, in my neighborhood, what are ways that I could show love, action, put the love in action. A few years ago, I was speaking at Central Bible College and for the girls. And so I shared that story about God wants to use you now. Don't wait till you graduate. Don't wait until you get into your careers or whatever you want to do. God wants to use you now. And so anyway, I shared that story without using any names. And so the next day at my office, my secretary came in and she said, Arlene, there is a girl out there that wants to see you, a young lady, and she wants to have tea with you. I didn't realize that one of those girls was now a student at CBC. So she came in and actually I fixed a pot of tea and we sat and she shared about how that meant so much to her during those times. So don't always think that you have to look for something so big to get involved in, because what will happen is that you will find that you're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting until that something never comes along that you can be involved in. So love is an action that needs to be practiced. Love is an action that each one of us can be involved in every day, everywhere we go. Would you look at the paper that was given you, the questions? Number two, I want to talk about number two, and we'll do that one together. It says, give some examples of how God has modeled his love for you. Can you think, share with me, scriptures or something where you can, how God, you know he loves you? The many, many scriptures in the Bible that, for example, he loves me so much, he knows every hair on my head is numbered. Can you think of other scriptures right away on love from him?
You're in his love, not that we love God, but God loved us. Mm-hmm.
And that's the best one, that he provided our salvation. So that's true. In 1 John, it says it is his desire to lavish his love on us. You are treasured possessions, Exodus. He is your greatest encourager. All of these things, if you start from the Genesis all the way through, there are many scriptures that you can hold on to and you can say, I know that I am loved because of his love for me. He gave everything he loved that he may gain your love. That's a good one, I think. He chose you when he planned creation. Ephesians. He loves you with an everlasting love. He is able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine.